Well, get your Bibles as you take your seat. Go with me once again to Hebrews in the 4th chapter. This is kind of a miracle of a day because we're going to go actually through 3 verses. Not 3 words. 3 whole entire verses. Isn't that amazing? So hold on. Buckle up. Let's go. We're going to go and have a great time in the Word of the Lord. I was sharing yesterday morning, before I give you the title of the message, I'll give it to you in just a moment. I was sharing yesterday morning at coffee. Debbie and I were having coffee together before the day started, before I came to church and ministered, before she went off and ministered somewhere. And we were having coffee together, and I was telling Debbie, I said, you know, the thing that amazes me is how oftentimes we as Christians forget about what God really wants to do. I said, right off the bat, God takes Adam, God takes Eve. First thing he does is he puts them into a garden. He didn't take them and put them on a mountain. He didn't take them and put them in the sea on a boat or a raft. He didn't take them and put them in the desert. He didn't dump them on some heap of a planet somewhere. He takes and puts them in a garden. There says so much about God. Stop, think about it just for a moment. If you've ever been in a garden, maybe some of you have gone on vacation and there's a garden in that community and you pay a buck and a half or $2 and you get to walk through the gardens, you know, like Huntington Gardens and different areas of Los Angeles or wherever it is that you're at. And you'll walk through these gardens, the paths, the flowers, and the beauty of everything, all the plants just properly coordinated. You know, oftentimes you'll lean down and smell a rose, and maybe there's no fragrance. You've smelled the next one and it's full of fragrance. Can you imagine a garden that was made and created by God, not tended by a man or built by a man, but the garden of God? Can you imagine how the flowers must have smelled? Can you imagine the breeze that ran through the place? The fragrance in that particular place, the look of your eye, it must have been one of the most beautiful places, without a doubt, on the planet. That God that cared so much about the people put them in a garden. Did you know that God is still looking to put you in a garden just like that? That God is the same God who loved them then, loves you today. The same God that wanted their best wants your best. The same God that took them out of where they were and brought them to a place and wanted to bless them. Here's the children of Israel. He takes them out of the place of Egypt where they're in bondage and brings them where? To a promised land. What is God really saying? In the promised land, it's filled with milk and honey, blessings, far beyond that which they could ever imagine. Everything they ever needed was there in the promised land. They didn't get there because of unbelief. They didn't get there because they didn't listen to the voice of the Lord and do what God said. They wanted to do it themselves, but still it says a lot about who God is. Stop and think about it. He wanted them in the garden. He wanted to take them to the promised land. God wants to take you somewhere. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a destiny for you. There is a promised land, a personal promised land. Most people don't even know what it is, don't even believe God cares, don't even believe that there's half a God up there that doesn't even care about them at all. But from the beginning, God wants to take you to a special place which's filled with milk and honey. Especially, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about while you're here on the planet. And you will never get there unless you get there His way. Let me say that again. You will never get there unless you get there His way. If I want to get on a train, I don't get on a train to go somewhere unless I get to the station, check in, buy a ticket, get on that train. I've got to follow the rules in order to get on the train, to take the train to get somewhere. Life is just that way. It's the same way with God. If I'm going to go somewhere with God, and that's going to be a good place because Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. If I'm going to go someplace with God, I'm going to have to go someplace His way, not my way. Because if I do it my way, it isn't going to work. But if I do it His way. And that's what the Word of God is saying to us. It's an example out of the 4th chapter. The fourth chapter of Hebrews, if you will, has been something like the, if you will, the author of Hebrews is like beating on the table. Like, I really want you to get this. This is really important for you to understand. This is really important for you to do. I want to take you to your promised land. I want to bless you. I want to take you to your own personal garden life. I want to make life good for you. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. But in order for you to happen, in order for it to take place, you're going to have to do it His way. You're going to have to get and buy the ticket. And let me say this, as we gather together and look at the word of the Lord, it tells us how to get the acquire the ticket so we can go to the ride that we need to get onto. Is anybody listening at all? It's important for all of us to see this. Today, it's a wonderful message. If you were to take the entire fourth chapter of Hebrews and sum it up, I sum it up in the title of today's message. The title of today's message is The Promise of the Rest. Listen closely to what I'm going to say to you. Until you get into the rest of the Lord, R-E-S-T, rest of the Lord, you will never get to your own personal promised land. You will never get to that garden that He wants to have. He'll never, your life will never be as successful as you want it to be. You are not made to find your rest from anything else but from the presence of God. And when you try to find your rest from something else other than the presence of God, what you have done is you have just circumvented God, and it will not work because your life has got to find its rest in who He is. I do not have rest by what I acquire, what I attain, what I accumulate. I do not find rest in what I have achieved. I find rest in who He is. And when my heart settles in Him day in, day out, doesn't matter what comes at me, doesn't matter what pressures come after us, doesn't matter what trials are against us, doesn't matter how I don't know I'm going to make it tomorrow, how I'm going to get by, how this is going to happen, but when my heart is in rest in Him, now I have the rest of the Lord. It's in His presence that I have been designed by God to find my rest. And if I try to find my rest somewhere else other than in Him, then I literally void out the power of God to take me to my personal promised land, to take me to my garden like He wants to take me someplace that He knows it's best for my life. And for all of us, we're learning how to do that. That promise of the rest. I'm going to read three verses. Let's take a look at them, if you will, in the fourth chapter. Verses starting in verse number 9. Verse number 9, it says this, "There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God." Verse number 10, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." Verse number 11, "Let us therefore diligently to enter, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone falls according to the same example of disobedience." Now listen closely. See the words up there, example of disobedience? They missed their promised land. You, I, can miss what God has for us if we don't listen to how it is that we get to where we need to go and be what we need to be. And we can miss this whole thing. And then we can end up in our life blaming God, blaming politicians, blaming society, blaming the economics, blaming education, blaming whatever. We blame everybody else instead of looking at this. God has set before you, God has set before me a personal promised land. God wants to take me to my personal garden. And it's found in His rest. And I can miss it by not entering into His rest. Because while I'm in His rest, hear me. While I'm in His rest, one more time, while I'm in His rest, that opens the door for God to work on my behalf to get me to where I need to be. But if I'm not in His rest and I've developed my own kind of rest, it slams the door shut and keeps me from my own personal promised land. And that's what happened with them. And they are our example on how to be successful in life and how to fail in life. So we look at the word of the Lord. Three things I want you to remember. Three things. Things to remember. If you will, from verses 9, verses 10, and verse number 11. First thing, three simple things as we summarize, if you will, this entire chapter, the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Things to remember. Number one thing is this. Rest is available. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? How simple could it possibly be? Sometimes in the scripture, things are so simple that we stumble over them because surely it must be more difficult. And that's called a stumbling block. It's right in your path. It's right there. You know that you should step over it and go around it, but you don't. You stumble over the obvious. And God has made it so simple for us. And one of the things I found out, if people do not know it's available, they won't use it or try to accumulate it or try to do it. You need to know that every day when pressures are on you, you need to know, and so do I, that every day when problems come up, you need to know when logic wants to take its own direction and cause you to make the decisions in life based on your own personal logic, you need to know that available to you at that very moment is the presence of God. And in His presence is His rest. And in His rest opens doors that get you to where you need to be. Well, let me tell you something that's very, very important for you to see. That without the availability, you would never understand it. For an example, if I wanted to come to church, I could get here a number of ways. I could hitchhike. I could walk. Or maybe I could get in a car and drive. But if I didn't know the car was available, I'd end up hitchhiking and walking. You need to know that rest is available. Why? So that you don't do some other thing and you do what you're supposed to do. It's available, but you need to understand how it simply works. Listen closely. The rest I'm talking about is found in Jesus. It's not found in what you've accomplished. It's not found in how much money you have in your pocket. It's not found in how much green you have in your wallet. It's not found in what your checkbook says. It's not found in what your savings account says. It's not found, the rest I'm talking about, is not whether your boss likes you or don't likes you, whether you have tenure on the job or don't have tenure on the job. Doesn't matter whether you have a retirement program or don't have a retirement program. It's not found whether the economy flows or doesn't flow. May I tell you something? The rest I'm talking about is found in Christ Jesus. And when you do not know where to get it and it doesn't make sense how to get it, you don't need to look for a check in the mail from Aunt Molly or your cousin giving you a loan or your mother borrowing money. What you need to do is you need to simply be a person that realizes that God is on the throne and you can tap into His rest anytime, any day. That's what we're talking about. And without that, my friends, we fail. And that's how the children of Israel were literally failed in what they need to do. It was available to them. They chose not to do it. Notice what it says in verse number 9, fourth chapter of Hebrews. There remains therefore a rest. There remains therefore a rest. I can't get you there. You can only get there yourself. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. It's there for you every day to claim every day, and it's found in His presence. Is anybody listening? Jesus makes this statement, a famous statement. We all know it by heart, could quote it, but let's talk about it. Verse 28 of the 11th chapter of Matthew. Jesus is speaking, just pop it up on the overhead for us. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and He didn't say, I'll try. He said, I If you come to me with your heaviness, you come to me with your labors, you come to me trying to accomplish something, I will give you, in the midst of your accomplishments, in the midst of your labors, I will give you, oh hallelujah, give you rest. And I love how you get it. You want to know how to get it? Verse number 29. Jesus continues speaking. Take my yoke upon you and learn. See that word learn? I have to learn how to do this. I have to learn how to rest in Him. I have to learn how to tap into His peace, His comfort, His ways, His security. I have to learn every day to follow Him. Deborah and I just had a business deal fall out literally before I preached yesterday morning. We've been working on this business deal for months, waiting for an answer. It came to us and it was not the answer that we wanted. We could either go along with a bad business deal, maybe something good will come out of it. We went to God and I had a rest inside of my heart. God said, shut the door. And I shut the door on that business deal. Then I got my shoes on and came and preached the gospel. I was full of the rest of God. Hear me now. It's not that I don't have the, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know. I feel I could get into the problem and find myself heavy-hearted. I choose not to get into the problem and find myself heavy-hearted. I choose to put my heart in Jesus and find myself light-hearted because He's all about Jesus. Does anybody? I have to learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find. Did you notice how you're going to find something? You don't just get something. I'll give it to you, but you got to look for it. You will find. Did you see that up there? You don't find something unless you're looking for it. You can put it right in your path, you can stumble over it and miss it completely. You will, he says, find rest for your souls. Verse number 30 comes along. Jesus finishes with this verse. He says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. For every one of us, you're going to find your place in Christ Jesus. Anybody listening? Jesus says these words in John 16 chapter, verse number 33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have, put the word rest in there, peace, rest, joy, comfort. In me, not in the results of the world, not in what your mail delivery person gives to you, not whether your aunt or your uncle gives you money, not whether you have a job or don't have a job. Now, in me, you will have peace. In the world, but you get out of Jesus and get into the world. Now you got economic problems. Now you got trials. Now you got pressures. Now you don't know how you're going to make it. Now you got to play politics at the job. Now you got to try to get the boss on your side. Hopefully they give you a good retirement. Hopefully your 401(3)(b) who you've been depositing money in every month is going to have a government behind it that's going to support it and keep you going. Hopefully this, hopefully that, hopefully this, hopefully that. Forget that, man. Put your heart in Jesus. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. How can I be of good cheer? The world is falling apart. I'm going to tell you something. I can be of good cheer because my Jesus has got no problems. My Jesus is not on Prozac. He is not worried about the problems. And I'm in Him. Be of good cheer. Sorry, I got real Pentecostal there for you. A little bit of that, all right? Pretty hard to share that and not be excited about it. It's true and it's real. We're talking about simple things. Verse number 9. It's available to you. I like verse number 10. Things to remember. Things to remember, verse number 10. God is in control. You got to know that by faith. You know why? Because the circumstances you face every day says He's not. The economy says He's not. The stock market says He's not. The job market says He's not. The real estate market says He's not. He is totally and completely in control. For those who are in rest in Him, He will open the door to your personal promised land. Those that are worried, those that are in the world, those that are going to be frustrated, those that are going to be down and out, they're not going to get there. God is in control. Listen to what it says in verse number 10. For he who has entered, fourth chapter of Hebrews, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. I am not telling you not to get a job. Let me make it very clear. You don't work, you don't eat. But whether you work or don't work isn't the source of your rest. You will never find rest by the government giving you money. You will only find rest in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter if you're working hard or not working hard. May I say this to you? Doesn't matter what you try to get or try not to get. You will not find rest in what you attain or what you achieve. You will only find rest in Jesus Christ. Every day. Didn't say you shouldn't try to accomplish something. Didn't say you shouldn't go to work. Didn't say you shouldn't get in there and make things happen. But you're going to have to go to work, make things happen. But know that your rest comes from Jesus Christ. So important for us to see. It's hard for us to cease from our labors. You ever wondered why? We're a people that worry a lot. We're a people that want to work. We're a people that want to accomplish. We're a people that want to achieve. And may I say this to you? That's okay. First thing God gave Adam and Eve was a job. Tend the garden. He's not against jobs. Tend the garden. We want to get in and make something happen. Have you ever wondered why inside you try to make something happen? And because you try to make something happen, listen to me now. Listen to me now. Very important that you get this. Because you try to make something happen, you find your rest in what you're doing instead of who He is. When you find your rest in what you're doing instead of who He is, you must cease from your labors. Doesn't mean you stop working. It just means that I don't labor to find my rest. My rest is in Christ. Are you following me? And that takes faith. God is in control. Watch this. Why is it so hard? After Adam and Eve fell, right back to the garden, Genesis 3rd chapter, God talks to serpent, says, "You're going to get it, bud." I just paraphrased that, by the way, in case you didn't know that. For those of you that don't read your Bible. Talks to the woman, "You're in trouble, girl." Then he talks to Adam. Verse 17, 3rd chapter. Here's what he says to Adam. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree in which I commanded you, saying," go on, "you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil." See the words "in toil"? If you wonder why you got to keep working, you think you're working, you want to draw your peace and your rest and your comfort from your own personal labors. I didn't say don't stop laboring. I just said don't labor for rest. Rest comes from God. Watch this. "In toil you shall eat all the days of your life." Go on to the next verse, 18. "Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herbs of the field." Verse 19. "In the sweat of your face, you shall eat the bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and for dust you shall return." Is that not the truth? Listen closely to what it says. It says, "from the sweat of your face." But we have a tendency to believe that the supplier of the bread is my effort. The supplier of the bread is the King of Glory. Are you following me? He's the one that brings the rest. He's the one that takes me to the garden. He's the one that's got a personal promised land. He's the one that knows what's best for me. Is anybody listening? We're talking about a very important subject. Let me give you an illustration of the subject. Did you know the Gentiles get God when they weren't even in God? The Jew missed God when they were trying to find God. They had access to God and missed God. Did you know you can have access to God and miss God? Now listen to this, because it's all about faith. What's faith? Knowing God is in control. God said, here's your personal promised land. Oh yeah, there's giants, but I know God's in control. And I'm going to go to my personal promised land. Why? Because I am in rest in Him. I am not rest in defeating the giants. I'm in rest in Him, and He will defeat the giants. Are you following me? Now listen to this. So it's all about knowing that God is in control. The children of Israel have access to God, miss God. The Gentile, the word Gentile is an interesting word. It means a people without a God, without a covenant or agreement with God. And so the Gentile gets God for one reason. Let's take a look at it. Will you look at it with me for a moment? It's really fascinating. It'll help you in your walk of faith. Let's take a look at it. Romans, the 9th chapter, starting in verse number 30. Romans, the 9th chapter, and verse number 30 says it like this. It says this, what shall I say then? That Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, verse number 31, but Israel pursuing the laws of righteousness have not obtained the laws of righteousness. In other words, they had access and didn't get there. The ones that didn't have access got there. It was all about who's in control. It was all about believing God. It was all about faith. It was all about trusting the Lord. They found their faith in who God was. Now watch this. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. In other words, they're going to work at trying to get to God. They were not at rest. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Here's this easy path. They stumble over it. What's the stumbling stone? Verse number, if you will, 33. For as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, the rock of offense. Whoever believes on Him, meaning Jesus, will not be put to shame. The Gentile comes along, believes in Jesus. Jew comes along, says, I'm going to win my relationship with God by works, not about works. It's about you knowing God's in control. When you know God's in control, it's that simple. The path is open to your personal promised land or that garden area that God wants to put you in with your home, family, children, finance, dreams, vision, destiny, your future. Does anybody listen? Three simple things out of these verses. The first one is so great. Rest is available. Second thing, God is in control. Third thing, this is a wild one. Are you ready? Let's take a look at verse number 11 of the 4th chapter. But here's the third thing. Diligent. Work hard at rest. We're going to have to work hard at rest. Working hard to be at rest. I don't want to be at rest. I want to be worried. I want to do something. I want to finish every day. Fall down on the couch and say, wow, whew, I really put in a good day. I feel good about myself. Instead of saying, wow, I've got Jesus and I feel good about myself because I'm in Him. Is anybody listening? I'm going to have to work hard at it. And I've got to be diligent. Verse number 11 says, let us therefore, because of what I just said, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. All of a sudden, he comes along, makes it very clear. We're going to have to be diligently working at being at rest. You know why? Because tomorrow the problems come up, and if you're not at rest, the problems will overwhelm you. Every day, you're going to have to diligently work at this. Every day, you're going to have to diligently remember, my peace, my rest, my comfort, my direction is from Jesus. All I need to do is get in Jesus and do what? No, number two, He's in control because I know, number one, it's available to me. Wow. Is anybody listening? And I've got to diligently, if I don't diligently work at this, then all of a sudden I'm back in the routine of trying to produce something, trying to accomplish something, trying to achieve something, trying to attain something in order to find my rest. And guess what that meant? Now, listen to me. This all comes from Wednesday night teaching, left side, right side, flesh, how to control the carnal mind. Remember that? If those of you that are here on Wednesday night, you'll know what I'm talking about. You will never please God with what you produce from your flesh. Scripture makes it very clear. Why? Because what you produce from your flesh comes from the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. And God's not looking for production from the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. I followed the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, and I accomplished it on my own. And God says, oh, how wonderful. I've been waiting for you to do that. That is not what it's about. It is a relationship you have with God, you and God together accomplishing something that He has planned for your life. Is anybody listening? So every day, every way, every time, every hour, I can be at rest because it's number one, available to me. Number two, it's not only available to me. John, put them up. Number one, it's available to me. Number two, God is in control. Number three, I've got to diligently work at this or I'll fall back in the bad patterns of my flesh and never produce what I need to do to go on to the garden of my life, which is that promised personal, promised land that God has for me. And I'll end up just like these people that had a relationship with God who failed in the wilderness instead of going on their personal promised land. God loved them. God loves us just exactly the same. And therefore, we have Jesus to get us across the finish line. Somebody ought to give the Lord a great big praise. Isn't that good?